Come on. Awesome. Awesome. Incredible. It was amazing, and I'm so excited. I asked them to close service today with that song, You Make Me Brave, to step out. How many is ready to step out into something supernatural in your life? Like you're not satisfied with the last experience of supernatural. You're ready for something more. How many has been dreaming? You've been dreaming about some big things. All right, but the rest of you, get started. Come on now. Let's start dreaming. Let's start dreaming. And listen, I want to say something today because, you know, in this service, there's a mix of people, but I just want to say this to you more seasoned saints, you more seasoned saints. Hey, listen, your dreams are not over.
That's right.
Your dreams are not over. Dream a little bit. Stir up some gifts inside of you. Get excited about the kingdom of God. And Jeff and Stephanie, I was thinking about y'all this morning. I don't know why y'all came to mind this early this morning. I was making up the bed, and I was thinking about y'all. And I was thinking about how we're getting into our next season. We've been doing life together for a long time, and we're getting into that next season of life. You know, my daughter's getting married. Y'all's kids are all married or about married or whatever they're doing. And they're all grown anyway. And so in this season of life, then y'all grandparents now and all of these things change. And sometimes in those seasons of life, we can just kind of start feeling like we're resting or we're falling back or we're just kind of taking it easy. Look, I don't want to do that. I want to just get charged up. I'm not saying that y'all are doing that. I'm saying I was thinking about y'all and y'all's giftings and your calling, your purpose. And I was thinking, man, just get charged up because we're still young. Y'all not going to say amen to that? Y'all ought to be jumping up and shouting because I was thinking y'all are still young. And so, like, Stephanie's one of the youngest looking grandmas I ever saw. And so, and of course, my kids love this couple. They love this couple. They've just sown into their lives, and I'm thinking about, I've seen their kids grow up, and they're seeing our kids grow up. Listen, we're in a great season of life, and whatever we do with it is on us. You know, God's not going to make us do anything with the season of life. He's not. He's not going to do it. Kay Short, he's still got awesome stuff for you to do. I mean, you got energy, you got skills, you got talents, you got giftings, you know. And he probably wants you to start teaching Sunday school or something. I don't know. But God has something awesome for you to do. He has something awesome for you to do. And for you young people, come on, somebody punch the young people. The 9 o'clock service, say, wake up. Wake up. Reach over and pop Luke on the head. Tell him, wake up. It's 9 o'clock service. I know y'all don't wake up till 11 o'clock service. But still, this is a great season. Everybody say it's a great season. Say, I'm here for a reason. I'm not trying to rhyme, but it's a great season. You're here for a reason. God's got a purpose on your life. Amen. And you're going to hear me say this a bunch of times because until we kind of change life up a little bit, until we start getting it, hey, we're in the middle of this great season. We need to find time that we let ourselves dream about the kingdom of God. And don't let the devil steal the opportunities in front of us with busyness or whatever it is. Just say, God, I'm going to dream. I'm going to dream. Come on, my shout, I'm going to dream. That was not a shout, but I'll take what I can get. Come on. So it's exciting this morning. I'm excited this morning. I'm fired up this morning about the kingdom of God. So keep dreaming. Keep dreaming. We talked, man, if you missed Jason last week, that may have been, that was in my top five favorite messages he has preached. It was awesome last week. And it was incredible. Go ahead, Sarah. Give him a big hand. Yeah. And, you know, he just really did a great job. So I'm going to take a little place where he left off, and I'm going to start there. I love when he was talking about don't get stuck in the frustration of planning. Don't get stuck in the frustration of planning. Sometimes we overdeal with the planning part. Now, I believe in planning, but we get stuck in the planning and never the doing. You ever been around somebody that they're always planning, but they're never doing? All right, so I'm one of those guys that can start things and not finish them because I get so many things planned and started I don't do. But I've been with people that they start, they always are planning, but they're never doing. They're just like, hey, I got this awesome plan, and they're good at the details, and they lay all the details out, and they just plan, and by the time they get ready to do, all the people that was on their team to help them do it, they've already left and went done something else because we're still planning. We're stuck in the planning. Does anybody know anybody like that?
Yes.
And so there's the frustration of the planning, and you can lose your team, and you can lose the people that God put in your life because you're stuck in the planning. You know, sometimes we need to have the gift of faith that says, I'm going to step out in what God has spoken, and understand that in the stepping out of what God has spoken, that he's going to lay it out in front of me. Yes. Let's talk just a minute about how God normally works. God normally works by giving us a word and us operating on that word, and then he gives us the next word. The Bible says it's a word, a lamp unto my feet. It's just a light. It's a lamp. It's not a cube beam shining off 25,000 miles down the road. It's just right here and right now. God's speaking to us, and he's giving us our next. But it takes moving from the planning, and I'm not against planning, but it takes, you know, the Bible tells us to count the cost before we start. So I'm not saying planning's wrong. I'm saying don't get stuck in the planning. Don't get stuck in that place of your life. Move on. Start doing. Come on, somebody shout amen.
Amen.
So I can't tell you how many people that I talk to, and they're trying to still figure out what God's plan is for my life. I've been pastoring some people for almost 20 years, and they're still trying to figure out what God's plan is for their life. For heaven's sake, do something. That was my dad's motto growing up. He said, do something. At least if you're doing it wrong, you'll know how to do it right. Because doing nothing is always wrong. Do something. Don't just sit there. Let me tell you something, you seasoned saints. You know how to get old? Just sit there. Stop doing anything. You'll get old. Your dreams will go away. Come on, girl, give us a shout of praise. Do something. Get up and do something. Well, I can't do what I used to do. No, but you can do what you can do. Now, don't think I'm just preaching to the seasoned saints, because I'm supposed to talk to the lazy generation that we have now, and I'm just going to call it like it is. We got a generation of lazy kids. I talk to businessmen all over the town, and they say, you know what? I can't get kids to come to work. I can't get them to work. Mike's back there saying amen. And so the only people who want to come to work is the senior citizens, and they're doing all they can, but they can't unload the truck. So Mike's unloading the truck because he can't get some young people to work. All right, say, Pastor, that's mean. You know what I mean? No, I'm talking about how the enemy has trapped us into this, just sitting around waiting for something to happen. Let me tell you something. God does not bless nothing. God, you can't say, God, give me an oak tree, and you plant it, and you water it, and you do all the other stuff, God. I'm just going to sit on my front porch, and you're going to grow an oak tree out there for me. It ain't going to happen. You got to get a shovel out, and you got to start digging in the earth, and you got to start saying, I'm going to plant something, and so it can grow. I got to do something. Y'all love me this morning? I'm fired up this morning. I might say anything today. It might be one of those days. We got to do something. Get up off of your laurels and do something. Tell your neighbor, say, get up. Do something. Do something. So oftentimes when we get stuck in the frustration of planning, what we've done is we've created a block of ideas in our life. And so what we've done is we've decided to pick one or two of those things that we might can accomplish within reason. Listen, I'm going to say it again. You're going to hear it for a few more weeks. If your God dream is something you can do without faith, it's probably not a God dream.
Right.
If you can do it within your own self, it's probably not a God dream. God works for us to do the things in the supernatural that we can't do our own self. And so when he gives us dreams, God's dreams are always bigger than we are. And as Michelle was praying this morning over businesses and entrepreneurs, you know what? You're not going to be an entrepreneur. You're not going to have some great. Listen, I hear people when I was growing up in my dad's business. I'm on a roll this morning. I was growing up in my dad's business. I would be working with some of his employees, and they would say, well, your daddy, blah, 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 blah. And they'd say, your dad, you know, we do all the work. He makes all the money. And I was like, you better shut up. Because you know what my daddy did? My daddy moved to Shreveport, Louisiana, with just a little bit of money in his pocket. And every evening, when people would get home from work about 4:30 in the evening, my dad would put on his best shirt and his best pair of pants and some good walking shoes. And he would knock sometimes 300 doors between 4:30 in the evening and 5 o'clock, at dark, knocking on their doors. Hi, my name is Lynn Poole. I just opened up a brand new business in this town, and we have a pest control business. And then you know what he'd do after he'd sell that business? He'd get up the next morning, and he'd put on another set of clothes, his work clothes, and he would go service those accounts. And he took all the money that he had to start that business. You know why? Because if you're going to do something, you got to take some risk in life. You got to be willing to work. You got to be willing to get up. Don't sit around and say, God bless me, while you're doing nothing. That wasn't my message today, but it sure is good. Hallelujah. You got to do something. Get up and go and do something. Papa, I don't want to embarrass you, but Papa, how old are you, Papa? You don't know? He forgot how old he is. He's a lot older than me, and he can outwork me. I hate when he says, let's have a work day, because I know my tongue's going to be hanging out, and he can outwork me. He'll work from daylight to dark and all in. We're working on a house. He's working to 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, Papa, look, I need some help. Don't make excuses. You can make excuses, and you'll end up in a nursing home twiddling your thumbs. Well, God can't do nothing with me at this age. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he can. Get a dream inside of you. Get a vision inside. Don't say it's too late. Don't say I'm too young. Don't say I'm too old. Don't say when I get this amount of money or this thing in my life, I'm going to do something. No, if you ain't doing it now, you could win the lottery tomorrow and you'd be broke because you had spent it all looking for something just to come to you. You'd be mail order everything. Sitting around waiting for it to come in the mail. He'd give you seed and you wouldn't plant it in the ground, because if you're not planting what you have now, you won't plant what you have tomorrow. That is nowhere in my notes, but that's so good. I'm supposed to be talking about some other things, so let me see if I can get to it. So if you're going to have a plan with God, you need to start with a conversation. If you want a God dream, start with a conversation with God. Yes. I talked to a pastor this morning. While I was having my coffee this morning, I was talking to a young pastor that I oversee, and I said, let me tell you something. I said, before you launch that new church, I said, you better have in your heart a dream for the supernatural. Don't just go open the church and hope some people show up and you can have people. I said, because all you'll have is people. Right. Listen, people does not always represent the kingdom of God. I'm sorry, but it don't always represent the kingdom of God. You can have people and not have a move of God. You can have people and not have a transformation. You can have people and not have a vision. You can have people and not have anybody healed. You can have people and nobody get saved. And most of our churches in America today are built on excellent speakers and cool bands. I want this house to be built on the presence of God. I want this house to be built on the dreams and vision of the Holy Spirit. What is God speaking? We don't know until we have a conversation with God. You can't have a conversation with somebody else and expect that to be a God dream. Now, I told him this morning, now as God begins you dreams and visions, you probably need to sit down with me or somebody else and begin to process those things. We need people to process them. But don't let somebody else's, don't go to a conference or a meeting somewhere and say, this is what God's, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to copycat that, because it might not work in your city. It might not work in your house. It might not. God might not want you to raise your kids like somebody. He may have a very design of how you should do what you should do. He said, Pastor, don't read books. I'm saying read books. Don't go to conferences. Go to conferences. But when you go to read books and you go to conferences, come back and say, God, what are you speaking? God, what are you saying? Whew, I'm excited. So let's talk about how God does his work, how Jesus did it. This is your conversation when you say, God, I want to do something for you, God. You're praying that prayer. I don't know if this is true or not. I don't know if this is absolute or not. Well, let me read the scripture first. Matthew 4. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. They were casting nets into the sea, for they were fishermen. Everybody say, for they were fishermen. They were doing what they had been taught to do by their father. They were carrying on the family business. And he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishermen of men. God always talks to us about where we are to take us where we're going. He gives us something we understand because he's not going to say, come on, I'm going to make you a bricklayer. He talks to them about where they are, about where they're going. That's deeper than that. Immediately they lifted their nets and they followed him. Say immediately. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Well, God, when everything comes into perfection, when everything gets just like I want it, I'm going to follow you. Let me tell you something, honey. You ain't never going to follow the Lord. You might be saved and get to heaven, but you're never going to do anything amazing because if you're waiting for all the stars to align, I mean, I've been doing this a long time. And most of the things that God operates in and the gifts operate is through storms and crises and problems and situations. Yes, they're not through perfection. Right. Matter of fact, I can't ever remember one great victory in my life that came out of everything being perfect. That was deeper than that, too. You'll get it later. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. And in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left their nets and their father. They left their nets and their father. They left their comfort zone and what they've always known. They left their family. And they said, we're going to follow you, Lord. Why? There was a call on their life. Now, this is what I said I can't prove. But we don't know, but they was probably fishing one day. And they said, I feel like God's got something more for me. That's not in Scripture, but I got just a hint that they were probably fishing one day and said, there's got to be more to life than this. How many has ever been just doing life and you said, there's got to be more to life than this? There's got to be more to life than getting up in the morning and going to work. There's got to be more to life than just this. Come on, somebody. And Jesus come cruising by one day. He said, Sherry, come follow me. Yeah. I'm going to make you a teacher of students of the gospel. She's already a teacher, so I'm speaking her language. He's going to make you a teacher. Come and follow me. Come on, Jeff, I'm going to make you a manager of souls. He begins to speak our language. And he says, come and follow me. Well, God, you know, how much is he going to pay? I mean, is there a salary in that? Well, Lord, do we get to bring an entourage with us? God, look, well, hold on. Let me go pack. I got some things I need to carry with me. A lot of things that we're packing are nothing more than just baggage in our life. They're things we need to leave behind, not carry with us. Whew, that's good preaching. We need to set some things down and say, we need to leave this here. I hear a call of God saying, come on and follow me. And we take off. I'm ready to go. We begin the journey, and it starts with a call of God on our life. And I want to tell you something today, that everybody in this place has a call and a responsibility. Raise your hand today if you've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. Come on, raise your hand. If you've been to the cross and the blood of Jesus has been on you, you have a call on your life. Amen. There's no exemption to that. There's nobody here today said, well, I've been saved, but I really don't have a call. You got a call. You got a call. Come on, girl, preach with me. You got a purpose for the kingdom. And oftentimes we think about that. I know how many young men I've talked to, and I say, you got a call in your life. They think, well, I got to be a preacher. Listen, there's so much more to this ministry thing than preaching. This is only just about 5% of what I do. There's so many opportunities for ministry. There's so many opportunities to do kingdom things that it's unbelievable. And we're stuck in two or three little things. There's a call of God on your life. But the key to fulfilling the call of God is obedience. I will do what God has called me to do. And I'll follow the plan that God has for my life. But I got to get in a conversation with God. He does not always give you all that you need to know until you start the journey. For all you smart people, for all you people who like to have every detail in line. Come on. You know who you are. About 80% of the people in here. The truth is, there's more people that are like that than there are crazy people like me that just jump out the plane. Woo-hoo-hoo! Hallelujah. And we always look at the crazy people and say, well, they must be called. I'm telling you right now that you're called, because if we don't have you in our life, our ministry's short. Amen. But you can overthink it. You can overplan it. You can overanalyze it. At some point, you got to say, God, I don't need to know all the details. I'm just going to get up from where I'm at, and I'm going to follow you, God. I'm going to do what you called me to do. I'm going to be obedient, God. So it's an idea of this. When he told the disciples, come follow me. It's not that God is not willing to share with you, but he is waiting on your obedience to begin the walk of faith and trusting him. You say, we have faith. No, you have faith, what, to be saved? That's awesome. That's incredible. But do you have the faith to follow Christ? Amen. Do you have the faith to go the next level? Do you have the faith to do with the calling? Because he didn't save you just to keep you out of jail and to keep you out of hell. Right. He saved you to be spent. He saved you to be used. He saved you to be the light to the world. That's what you got saved for. Amen. Listen, I don't want to go to hell. I have no desire to go to hell. But I'm not sitting around saying, I just want to be saved so I don't go to hell. So good. I'm saying, I want to be saved so I can do great things for God. I'm here in the earth. I'm bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth. I got purpose. Yeah. Are y'all with me this morning? Amen. So he saved you for purpose. You know, here's the deal. The places that he leads us is often risky, and we have to live life on the edge. So for all you people that's got to have it, just listen, I'm provoking you today. I'm provoking you to start doing the first thing he told you and just let the things of God come to you. A lot of time, what we call safe is really selfish. Now, let me explain that, because I know that people hate that word selfish. They feel like it's a slap in the face. But let's be real. We all battle with selfishness. Can we get real today? Is there anybody here that has no selfishness whatsoever in you? If you raise your hand, because I want to meet you. I need you to lay hands on me and anoint me, pray for me. Because as much as I like to think that I'm not selfish, selfishness always rises up in me. And a lot of times it comes out of fear or trying to preserve something or trying to keep hold of something or trying to keep the balance or, you know. Every word leads me to another thought. If you're going to be balanced in this walk with God, then you're probably something's, you know, probably off in that. Listen, the kingdom of God is not balanced with the world. Like, I got to be natural and supernatural, and I got to keep it balanced. Well, you're just going to be natural. Because it's you that got to be all in, because there's no halfway in. Somebody ought to shout amen. I want to do things, the selfishness, I want to do what's comfortable to me. I want to do what I know, what feels good to me. I don't want to take any risk. Let me tell you something, where there's no risk, there's no reward. You look at the businessman who put it all on the line, and he's being blessed, and things are happening good. You got to, and you look at that, and you forget that there was a risk taken somewhere down the road. He took every dime he had, he invested it in, and he went to work, and he took risk. He took risk. And the difference between the man that owns the business and the man that works for the business is the man that works for the business takes no risk. He just shows up every day, punches a clock, gets a check, and goes home. Shows up every day, punches a clock, gets a check, and goes home. And there's nothing wrong with that, but don't be jealous of the guy who's making the big bucks because you're not willing to take the risk. But don't be jealous of somebody's ministry over here that's flourishing and growing and booming because you're not willing to step out of the boat. I'm just going to keep on fishing. This is what I know. This is comfortable to me. I'm not going to do anything extra. I'm not going to do that. What God, you say, oh, God, I'll do anything. Anything you want me to do. He says, okay, sell your house and move to the slums in New Orleans and start ministering to the poor. Anything but that, God. Sell all that you got and move to L.A. and to Skid Row. I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about I'll serve Beverly Hills, God. I feel the anointing. Well, I'm going to tell you what. Sometimes your dream, thinking that's better, can sometimes be a nightmare for you. But when you're walking in obedience to God's calling, everything seems to come into order. Things begin to happen. You begin to find pleasure in the kingdom of God, and it supersedes all joy on this, all happiness on this earth, because it's coming from the joy of the Lord. So let's read 1 Corinthians 12. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of services, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. I need 10 people to jump up here real fast. 3, right there. Everybody on the front row, you, whoever, come on. I don't care if you come. Come on. They made fun of me yesterday about getting my posse up here, but I don't care. So to each and everyone's given a gift. Come on, you got a gifting. Oh, that's all right. God's calling you. Get out of your fishing boat. I could start right here because I know her gifts. Listen, the other night she sat down at the table and she just started piddling around with some paint in her hand. Next thing you know, she had on a canvas, what do you call those flowers? Poppies. They look like the real thing. I mean, it looked like you could go pick them. She's got a gift. She's got a gift of creativity. I don't want to start in everybody's gifts. I know these gifts because I live with them. She's got a gift of music and worship that y'all see here, but she's also got a gift of management. She's always managing me. She takes after her mother. But I want to just represent these different gifts. The gift of administration, another one keeping me in line. The gift of worship and creativity, the gift of faith and evangelism and preaching, and the gift of encouragement, the gift of help. Listen, shows up faithfully every time. And when I get here on Sunday morning, unless he's called and said, I'm not going to be there, he's going to be standing right up here with a smile on his face, waiting for something to do. What do you want me to do, Pastor? I'm here to serve. I'm here to serve. He never says, Pastor, I really don't want to come to services. Pastor, I really don't want to get out of bed. Pastor, my little Katie Bug, she don't come till second service. I want to hang out with her. He's here. He's faithful. He might think it, but he don't say it. Faithful. Soldier, a warrior. God's given this man a gift of healing. If you want to be healed, let him pray for you. You'll get healed. A gift of knowledge, evangelism. Can I pick on you just a little bit because you know it's true? Hey, listen, this hard-headed sucker, there's nothing to tell you how many times I wanted to kill him. Discipling him. How many times I want to just say, oh, my God, I just want to beat the daylights out of you. It's like talking to a wall. Like talk to, I don't know how Amanda lives with you. You're so hard-headed. You're
gift
so
of grace.
You're gift of mercy. How in the world? You're laughing about this, but I'm going to tell you this is really a testimony. He can quote the Bible, but had no faith in God. That's a fact. Let me tell you something, what happened. One day, you know, he gives Tim and I a lot of credit for coaching him, and that's awesome. But one day, he heard the voice of God, and it said, "Hey, Matt, leave your nets." Yeah, right. And he'd heard it a bunch of times before, but this time he said, "Okay, I don't know what this is going to look like, but he's very intelligent, by the way. I know some of you don't know that, but he's smart." Seriously, his IQ is, he's smart. Too smart for his own good. But one day he said, "Okay, God, here it is." He threw it online. This guy's transformed because he decided, I'm not going to live on the outskirts of my ministry anymore. I'm not going to live on the outskirts of my calling anymore. And I don't care what it looks like. I'm going after God. I'm going after the presence of God. I'm going to lay down all my religious stuff. Oh, my God. He had so much religious stuff in him. You try to talk to him, he just spit all this religious garbage. Got delivered. I'm not picking on him. I'm trying to tell you, this is a testimony of the grace of God. Y'all would be shouting up and down if I had somebody up here and said they were a drug addict and an alcoholic and whatever else, and God delivered. Woo! Thank you, God. But when God delivers somebody from a spirit of religion so that they can do what God has called them to do, that's just as exciting to me. It's going to take all day, but y'all know what Michelle does. This one right here. This one right here. This morning she told me, she said, can I tell that?
Yeah.
Okay. She told me this morning, she said, you know, at school we have Carline, and we got these old, mean old teachers out there in Carline. Move your car out. She said, well, the students, the parents are calling school. Hey, that old, what's going on? Who's that old mean thing you got out there screaming at kids, screaming at parents? She said, can I take over that? Can I be the one to go out there and say, hey, can you please move up? Why? She's changing the atmosphere. It's called the gift of hospitality. Changing the atmosphere. Changing the, and now people go like, hey, we love our school. A few more months of that other person in the driveway, they're going to be like, what's wrong with the school? What's wrong with these people? But somebody said, this is my gifting. Well, is she winning anybody to the Lord? She's winning everybody to the Lord. Everybody comes to the car line. What's the change? What's the difference? Oh, that's the presence of God out there directing traffic. That's the joy of the Lord. Are y'all hearing me this morning? Am I making any sense? So God give us these giftings. Stay there. We're fixing to go up the mountain. I got to read my notes real quick. Administration, apostle, discernment, healing, helps, knowledge, working of miracles, prophecy, teaching, tongues, wisdom. Romans 12 says this, gifts of exhortation, giving, leadership, mercy, prophecy, service, teaching. Somewhere your name's beside something in the scripture that said, I've called you to be this. I got this purpose over your life. And it doesn't mean that you'll always do these gifts within inside the four walls of the church. But God has called you to use your gifts in the kingdom of God. And the whole earth is filled with His glory. Yes, yes. When I was in Sunday school as a little kid, they'd call us up and they'd say, one day you're going to be a preacher. One day you're going to be a missionary. One day you're going to be an evangelist. We don't want to do that. You hear me? You hear me? We will say, one day you're going to be what God's called you to be. You are the kingdom of God right now. There's a whole bunch of these that's got, you can be mercy at work. God give you the gift of leadership. You know what? You ought to be the best leader on your job. And then when somebody comes in your office, and life is, and they come in and they're having problems on the job. Instead of saying, well, listen, we got a problem with the way you're working the job, say, hey, can I ask you, how's things going at home? You know, most people are good people. They just need somebody to minister to them. How's it going at home? Well, my wife left me 3 weeks ago. I was wondering because I noticed some changes in you. And now we get to use the gift of leadership, the gift of mercy in the workplace, and we're working the kingdom of God. That's right. for the sake of time, I'm not going to just keep on these gifts, but you understand what I'm saying. God, he put all of these gifts together for the common good of the kingdom of God. For the body of Christ to reach its fullest potential requires that the team works within their giftings to accomplish the climb before them. In the documentary Maru, the leader of the team, Conrad, he recruited two other men younger than himself that had the skills that were different than his own. If you're going to go anywhere in life, you got to be a recruiter of some people that have skills that you don't. Come here and help me preach today. Listen. Organization, getting it done, putting it together. Even this message I'm preaching right now, she went over this message and checked it all and made sure. I said, don't do like my wife, though. Don't change my message so when I get up to preach, it says something else. I give Angel my notes, and I get them back, and I'm like, that ain't my sermon. She says, I'm trying to help you with grammar. I said, but I don't say it like that. To help package it, to help put it together. That's why when I was over here saying, this ain't my message, she said, I know, because I read it. It ain't in there. I need her in my life. I need her in my life. And I was sitting right here on this seat one day. I didn't even hardly know her. She was on the platform. I mean, I knew who she was. I knew she married Ryan. I prayed for her every day. And so she was sitting up there playing the cello. And the Lord said, that's your next assistant right there. And I said, what? And the Lord said, that's the one right there. She's going to help you. She's going to change your life. God said, I know where you need to go. I'm going to give you someone that's going to help you. Listen, God never, ever intended for you to do ministry alone. And you will never reach your place, the climb that God's taking you, until you understand that what God put in your life is precious. Amen. And when people rub you the wrong way, good. They're knocking the barnacles off of you so that you can go faster. You see, a ship has barnacles on it. And there's somebody that has to come and knock the barnacles off. The little bitty barnacles on the bottom of the ship will slow a ship down. It'll make that ship not turn right and move right. So somebody has to come in and knock the barnacles off of it. And God puts people in your life to help knock the barnacles off your life so you can get where you're going. Before you clap, I got another point to make. Most of the time, we get rid of those people because they rub us the wrong way. We don't like what they say. We don't like the pressure they put on us. And so we are slow and we're lethargic and we have no direction because we have lost the people in our life that God put in our life to help us. Sometimes you got to have a thorn in the flesh. She's not a thorn in the flesh. But sometimes you got to have a thorn in the flesh. Sometimes my wife has been my thorn in my flesh. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. But if I didn't have her in my life, you wouldn't want me to pastor you, and I've told you that 1,000 times. Somebody says, Pastor Marvin, you're the pastor of that church. No, Pastor Marvin and Pastor Angela is the pastor of this church. And she don't get up here and take authority, and she's not that kind of gal. Let me tell you something. When I get in the car, she takes authority. You shouldn't have said that. You ought not think like you got a bad attitude. You need to work on that. Have you prayed? Because you don't act like you've prayed. Come on now. You say, well, Pastor, you pray all the time. Yeah, sometimes I don't, and I get reminded too. Because I can fake it around you, but when I get around her, there ain't no faking it. You know what I could do? I could say, well, look, don't tell me what to do. I'm the man of this house, bless God. And I'm going to be the loser. I'm going to be the loser. You better love that spouse that aggravates you. You better love that friend that God puts in your life. You better love that person that rubs you the wrong way. You better love that person. You better love that girl. She's going to tell you what to do. You better love her. Come Saturday, son, you got a new authority in your life.
That's the truth.
That's why you're saved, boy. You better hush. You're laughing, but it's true. I'm glad it's funny, but when you get through laughing, would you take it to heart? But he knew our success would be the success of the team. You know what Mount Everest, thank you guys. Never mind, why don't you stay? Stay, Matt. Oh, no, we don't have that ministry right now. I'm just kidding, go ahead. But there are more that have made it their mission to simply climb. Listen, I'm missing my point here. Mount Everest, everybody knows about Mount Everest, and every climber wants to climb. That's their dream. If they're a mountain climber, they want to one day, if they've ever climbed even a little rock in Arkansas, they say, one day I want to climb Mount Everest. That's their dream. Now, I don't want to climb Mount Everest. I don't even want to climb a rock in Arkansas. But if you're a mountain climber, you start dreaming about that dream. I'm going to dream. I'm going to climb the biggest mountain there is. See, I'm a fisherman. I want to catch the biggest fish there is. I like to catch one of them big old huge fish. Just, I want to catch the biggest fish I can catch. Whatever you do, you dream about the biggest. You know, my wife would always get excited when at the first deer season I'd kill a big deer. She'd be like, "Oh yeah, he got it out of his system. Praise God, he'll be home." You know what happens? I kill a big deer. All it does is like, ah, I'm gonna go kill another one. You know, if I sit out there for like a month and don't see anything, I'm pretty much ready to quit. But if I kill a big one, it don't make me want to quit. I'm like, oh, I got the trophy on the wall. I'm like, can I kill a bigger one? Whatever your passion is ought to be a dream inside of you that continues to grow. I should have made this a two-part message. Summer. So the summit, we want to climb they want to climb Mount Everest. But you know what? They made it their mission simply just to climb. I'm going to be a climber. There's a place called Base Camp. Can y'all see that? Mm-hmm. There's a place called Base Camp. I want you to look at that right there, because you can see right here this little colored section, that's little tents. It's a place called Base Camp. And we think that's not such a big deal at all. It's not significant to be at Base Camp, but most of us don't understand that that's not at the bottom of the mountain. Base camp is not at the bottom of the mountain. As a matter of fact, it's a six-day climb before you get to base camp, because it's at 17,600 feet, which is higher than the average summit of 14,000 in the U.S. So base camp is no small climb. And at base camp, there's doctors. This is why I wanted y'all to stay. There's doctors. There's nurses, there's guides, there's people that's climbed it before, there's people that's climbed and didn't make it. There's everything inside of there, sitting at base camp, to give you what you need to get where you need to go. But here's what you need to understand, that there are more people every year that just make it their mission to get to base camp than ever decide to go to the summit. Now here's the problem. We think that if only those who go to the summit are great. But let me tell you something. Nobody gets to go to the summit unless they have the people at base camp. And so when the devil tells you that your giftings are not good enough, you need to say, listen, the only way that other person is going to get where they're going is going to be by the support of those that God has called to go with them. And so when they reach the summit and they stand on top of the mountain, the one or two or three out of the 20 or 30 that are at base camp, when they stand on top of the mountain, everybody got the victory. Everybody got the victory. Everybody receives a reward, because the Bible says that some water and some plant, but only God gives the increase. I've come to tell you today, church, that God has called us to the purpose of the kingdom of God. And that before you decide, hey, I don't know that God's got to get your purpose is needed in the house of God. Amen. We need you. Amen. We need you to win this city. We need you to win this area. You can be seated. We need you. Y'all can just get ready. I'm going to go worship team. Get ready. God wants to make you brave. He wants to pull you out into the deep places of the Spirit. He's called you for a time such as this. And I wish somebody today would understand. Somebody said, well, Pastor, there seems to be we need this or we need that or this. Hey, listen. Quit looking at the distractions around you. Quit looking. Listen, we walk into church sometimes and we look around to see what's different. Who's left? Who's here? Who's new? Who's old? Listen, get in your lane and begin to do what God has called you to do. You want to see the church grow? Stop growing the harbor and start growing the church. What does that mean? That means, come on, this is the kingdom of God. And everywhere we go, we're changing the earth around us. Now, listen, I want to grow the harbor. I want us to grow and be, you know, expand. But more than that, I want us to be engaged in what God's called us to do. And I want us to see us move the kingdom forward. You know, as we studied and talked about the vision of the church, listen, the vision has not changed in 20 years. We changed some things that are different. We don't do it like we did 20 years ago. This is different. Somebody said, well, we don't do it like they did in the book of Acts. And I said, and you don't ride a donkey to church either. But we still got the same God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Culture changes. Aren't you glad we don't have pews anymore? Come on, all you religious people. Them old hardwood chairs that you, if we're gonna have church like we used to, well, let's take these chairs out and get us some of them old hard. They're free. Everybody's giving away. You can get all you want. You see what I'm saying? We get caught up in the past. And we get caught up in this. And we get caught up in that. And we miss our calling and our purpose for the kingdom of God. It's a distraction. Right. I want to jump up and down and scream today. Mama K, it's a distraction. It's a distraction. I mean, God ain't through with you yet. Keep on preaching, girl. She don't call herself a preacher, but she is. It's a distraction. It's a distraction. Vicki, what has God called you to do? You see, there's a purpose in your life. He wants to make you brave. Are y'all feeling what I'm feeling? I'm talking about more than just excitement. I'm feeling the presence of God going. I'm feeling the presence of God pushing us into our purpose. I'm feeling the presence of God say, come on. Joyce called me. I'll tell this story because she's here. Joyce called me the other day and said, Pastor, you got to come see. I opened my coffee shop. It's open. What? I got this download 10 years ago. It took 10 years. Well, I ain't waiting 10 years. God, if you don't do it like a microwave right now, I'm not going to do it. No, sometimes we got to walk in our purpose. Keep on walking. Just keep on walking. Keep on believing. Keep on speaking the truth. God, this is what you called me to do. Yeah. Next Sunday, I'm going to deal with the spirit of discouragement. You don't want to miss that. You don't want to miss that. God's called us. God's called us. So here's what I feel like the Lord's saying today. He's speaking to some people. Hey, look, throw down your nets. Throw down your nets. I'm calling you to a greater place. I'm calling you into a greater anointing. I'm calling you into a greater purpose. And I wonder if there's anybody here today that would just say, God, I'm going to answer the call. Yes. You see, can I pick on y'all too just a little bit more? Come Saturday, God's uniting you into one. So he's putting in your life a purpose for you to do. And you is now y'all. Yeah. or the y'all is now you. You're one. And you've got to be the encouragers of each other to do what God's called you to do. And God didn't put you together just so y'all could be happy and whatever else. God called you for purpose. Destiny. Kingdom. Authority. What has God called you to do? Don't miss your now. Don't miss your now. Let's stand. We're just going to make this whole place an altar today. There's people ready to come in. They're standing at the door for second service, but that's all right. Don't get in a hurry. Listen. Don't get in a hurry. Don't get in a hurry to leave today. I'm not asking you to stay. I'm telling you don't get in a hurry to leave because I feel like God wants to speak to you. This is our altar today. It's a call that God's speaking specifically to your heart. It's your heart. God's saying, I got something for you to do, Luke. And he wants you to open your heart in the next few minutes. And I'm saying him, but I'm saying all of you. He's going to open your heart and say, okay, God, what is it? And God, I'm going to step into that call.